second? Okay, we're going to open the meeting of the Boulder Planning Commission for September 12, 2019. Present, we have Josie Muse, Matt Cochran, Colleen Thompson, Elizabeth Julian, and Peg Smith. Are you okay with not saying yes?
I got them already.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. So we'll open with old business and approve the August minutes. And did everybody get a chance to go? Okay, so then make a motion to approve the August 8th, 2019 minutes.
I'll second that motion.
And I'll say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we've got that done. And then where do we want to put this information, this piece in, Peg? Should we do that right now?
Why don't you do your comments first, and then when you open the discussion for everything, we can do it.
Can we just start off there?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we'll start off with our new business now, and then we'll open it up for public comments, if anyone has any public comments to make. And then you'll have a chance at the end of the meeting to make public comments, too. So, okay, no public comments. Great. So we're going to go ahead and open the meeting, continue the discussion on the zoning ordinance table of uses. And so I guess what I was thinking basically was that maybe we could each take turns with some comments. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and start. I went through and looked at the table of uses and then basically looked at the definitions. And it was kind of weird because I went through this and the first thing I started looking at was all the C's, which is commercial property. I mean, you know, commercial zoning, And then I went through here, and I found these definitions that were for nobody. There's not a business that will come into town right now and find commercial property, because there is no.
The C's commercial. Are conditional use in here.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
except
right.
Except for that last row.
Okay, that's right. That's right. But there again, any commercial property that we have right now is already being used. So any new business that came into town that needed to be on any kind of commercial property, some business would have to move out.
Not necessarily. They would apply for a rezone.
But, I mean, so then that's a conditional use permit, right?
Not if they get rezoned.
Okay, so then while we're talking about this, then we talk about rezoning too, right? I mean, if we leave, I think the thing is I'm trying to kind of put this puzzle together.
Yeah.
And it seems like, yeah, conditional use permits, commercial.
Talk about
zoning
a little bit. I mean, we touched on it in the past, but like I mentioned in the past meetings, is I see it as supply and demand.
Yeah.
And right now, looking at our current zoning and trying to determine where would we put commercial is a difficult thing to do because not everyone is going to want commercial on the current property that they have, right?
Yeah.
And what is the demand? Do we have the demand for commercial right now? And I don't see that.
Yeah.
So to say that, you know, we lack in commercial zones property, I say it can be, if that does have a demand, then somebody can ask us to rezone something that they're looking at in particular, a piece of property in particular that they'd like to rezone, instead of us going through the process and saying, well, we're going to just rezone this whole area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with Josie. I think it's actually the right sort of barrier that there is no commercial zoning.
Yeah.
And then for example, if someone comes in and wants to do light use, they have to make a zoning change, but if the property they have, say, isn't along Highway 12, then I would be like, not really going to work because it'll screw up all the residential neighborhoods with noise and traffic and shipping and distribution and so on. So you see what I mean? It's like, yeah. So that also made me start thinking about how these uses are actually defined too.
Yeah.
But more on that later.
And I see that the market would direct us, you know, in the future at this point, instead of jumping forward and saying that we need something now.
Yeah.
And of course, this is only in city limits.
Right, in county, it's a completely different story. It's open, less restricted by far.
Yeah.
So, are you in city limits?
Yes.
But barely.
Yes. Well,
the rest of the draw is out. Right?
So the rest of the draw. So the line is, where the trust trailer was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just. No, the corral just east of the trailer is in the county.
Okay.
But that trailer was in town.
Okay. And then it's not too far past your place of monument stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they put that sign because it's outside the town limits.
Right.
They put it there because it's outside the town.
And then Ripplinger's property back there, their backyard is in the county and their front yards are in the...
Right, they're right on the line.
And then is Greer's?
Greer's. Belknap.
Belknap, sorry.
Yeah.
It's not even Belknap's. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think that house is in the county. But the Amber's house is in town.
Gosh, that's weird.
So it's, the lines are, it's just a straight line.
And those specialists could always come forward with a proposal to, incorporate within the city limits.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, conditional.
So, does anybody else have any comments about this, basically?
On the commercial, that's kind of what, as I was going through that, that's how I see it. I think focusing more on what we have and clarifying more of the uses that are in the table and better defining things, to me is a higher priority than trying to rezone at this time just because of the market's not demanding it.
Right. Yeah. And I would add one thing to that is, looking at the definitions, but I also noticed when I was going through, some of the definitions are great, but I think what zoning districts they're allowing.
Yeah, I have several.
Me too. Okay. And Elizabeth?
I was curious if we thought, based on the success of the winter groups two winters ago, the success of that with the big overhaul of things, did we want to go that route with this prior to get input? Because we've seen that this community shows up and participates in those small groups, but they don't show up and participate in, the process in the meeting. Is it something we want to look at that avenue as the leading of where we go with this discussion?
We talked about that. I think it's in last month's notes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm referencing that.
Yeah, but I think in the meantime, we could be having these preliminary conversations. It's really the only thing on the agenda.
Yeah.
Are we following the protocol of those work meetings already? This is what we're starting to do, what everyone wanted.
Exactly. Yeah, and now that I was just clarifying from last minute, was it that we were going, taking stuff from that previous one, or taking it to moving forward with additional ones with this as the focus?
Oh, I see.
I wanted clarification on what was discussed.
I kind of wanted to know if you guys were interested in doing that too. Mainly because of the way that it was done with strictly people from in town. We each had a group, but we didn't participate in it at all. It was just the people in town in our group that participated. It was kind of hard. Like, we didn't say anything. We let them, what will we bring, that's what's so interesting about what happened in those. I know, I mean, we kind of steered the group a little bit, but really it was really the, and we, I mean, we gave them something to, we definitely had things to work with. They each had, you know, a definition that they worked on or a subject matter. So can we narrow this down to where we'd really get use out of townspeople as far as what they think? Or, you know, do we, yeah, or do public hearings take care of that?
But yeah. That would be my choice is that there's actually, I mean, not a whole lot of work here.
Yeah.
And I think if we started including 40 people, we'd make much more work than we really needed to do. And so if we instead came up with our definitions and so on, and then just presented the findings through the things at, with the public hearing, yeah. It's really up to people to show up if they want.
Well, and if, I mean, if things go like it is tonight, basically, I mean, we could probably run through several pages, if not all of these tonight, just as a run through. And then we have next meeting. And people, you know, we don't always have a big turnout for public meetings necessarily. But I think, I mean, we did for those, for the meetings that we did have. So, I mean, I'm not kind of up for, kind of, let's go through the definitions and get through there, like Matt said, see how far we get, if we like where we're going, and whether we want to include the public, maybe, in this winter.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see that this is a result of those last working groups. That's why we're looking at these particular definitions and looking at, you know, particular issues that they brought forward in the different zones.
Yeah. So, and I don't
and
know
I,
how
you know, time, even though winter might slow down for some, it doesn't
I know, it
for
doesn't.
Everyone.
That's true. So, well, and that's why it was interesting to have the public input, too, because, like I said, we just attended those meetings. It was everybody else, basically, that had input. I can't say that I really did a lot.
That's interesting, because I see that, you know, we're members of this community, too, so
I think
our voices just about
I mean, I would prefer just a public hearing, because I think that, again, we, you know, it's not, there's not a whole lot to present.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to have plenty of other work on the table. We have a list of priorities from those working groups that we need to start moving through. So I wouldn't want to see something like this. We've already been on it, what, 2-3 months? You know, might as well just try and wrap it, I think.
What do you mean as far as other things that are coming up in the future?
Yeah, the whole
like
priority list we made off the working groups.
Which is what, I mean...
We have it out of that general, out of the general plan revision too, we have a list of things to work on. And we'd have to pull that back up.
We should look at that then, because maybe that's what we, like you said, I mean, it seems like we are kind of focused on this, but, you know, if there's other things too, then.
Well, I mean, I would like to get this. Let's do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
Yeah, exactly.
To the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Before you wrap it up, can you read that statement? Because that's kind of what you are resolving to figure out.
Okay. Okay. That's true. Okay, so this is regarding the conditional use permit for Sugarloaf Valley Farms.
No.
This right here?
No.
Know what we're talking about? Okay.
I hereby move that the July minutes.
No. This. Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing. So
okay,
yeah,
so it actually starts right here. Okay, I want. Okay. Okay, so this is just a. So I'm just going to read this. I hereby move that the July minutes be amended to include the following resolution pursuant to the discussion and vote at that meeting, and further that the Planning Commission reaffirm by a vote of its members the resolution in the September meeting as follows. Resolved that the Planning Commission shall review, study, and revise portions of the Boulder Town Table of Uses and Use Definitions of the Zoning Ordinance at public meetings and hearings for possible amendments and recommendations to the town council of said table and definitions that are vague, lacking in sufficient detail, in need of updating, or for other valid reasons, including but not limited to the following: home occupation, light manufacturing, commercial sales and services, hotel motel, professional offices, guest ranch, campground, and resort. So do you remember when we talked about this, when we did this in July?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then, yeah, so you're right, we have kind of.
True.
I guess the thing is, too, is it says study and revise, so.
He just wants anything that you are deciding of any nature, including the conditional use permit, or like, we are going to take this action in the form of resolution in my minutes. That's the bottom line. So he was wording that.
So do we need to vote on that?
Yeah, he's recommending we amend the July minutes to include that resolution as such, and it will also appear in the September minutes.
Yeah.
And so all those in favor of the resolution, should we vote?
Yeah, so then I make a motion that we accept this amend the July minutes to read what I just read. Or should be added.
Which is what you did.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You already have voted on that in July.
And we're going to vote again.
I need to restate it as a resolution, as written, amended in July, and I also need to, it'll be in these minutes.
Okay. So.
But then you would have to vote on the amendment.
Right. So anyway, so I make a motion that we vote on this.
I second that. Is that a roll call vote?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Aye. Josie Mews.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Elizabeth Julian, aye.
Okay, so then let's go back to this. Let's go ahead and start with, let's just go ahead and start with accessory building. Does anybody have any comments on accessory building?
I think that was recently done, so I am good with definitions.
Yeah, no comment.
Okay, so this went out, and basically what we did, the ADU, is that what will come in here pretty soon?
It already is, yeah.
It's already in.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'd really like to get that updated. Okay, so the next one is, do we want to go down the list, or do we want to go through these right here?
Let's go down the list and just say no, whatever.
Okay.
Most of these are good, so.
Okay. So accessory dwelling unit for employees. Anybody have any comment?
Nope.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do too.
It seems to me that they're assuming that this is commercial.
In the past, yes, and that's what my comment's going to be directed to.
Yeah, if anybody needs an accessory dwelling unit for employees, sometimes it's ag, isn't it?
Well, and that currently is GMU.
GMU and commercial.
Yeah.
So.
But my comment is in relation to us considering an agricultural zone. And so in my notes, I've added another column with that possibility of an ag zone. And then this accessory dwelling unit for employees would either be conditional or permitted in an ag zone as well. So I don't know where this agricultural zone is going to come into our conversation, and maybe it will be a separate conversation.
I think it should be separate.
Okay.
I think it should be separate because I do, that's something too that we're going to, I think it will be separate. So
we'll go with the table of uses as it is for now. And so, it is conditional in GMU, which is considered the ag zone, to answer your question.
Yeah.
So that would be allowed with the CUP.
Okay, so we would leave that as it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So accessory use. And on this, it says accessory use or building. And here in the definitions, it says accessory use. And it's permitted, so, does it matter? Or shouldn't they both say the same thing?
If we're looking at accessory use or building, and this is accessory building, and that's accessory use.
Right, so...
So you're saying...
Okay, so it's saying... Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, but they should be maybe under each other or something.
I didn't get that. Was that the definition?
So, see up right here, it says accessory dwelling unit for employees, and the second one is accessory use or buildings. The one in that is the use definitions, it's accessory building, then unit for employees, and then accessory use. And so the two that are attached together are separate on this.
Okay, so here's where we run into agriculture again. And so this is kind of what Curtis was saying, was that we have agriculture defined here. Do we want a zone? That's kind of the question, right? Or it was just a statement or something to think about.
My thought, yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to interject that because it is a different topic, but the idea being that, yes, of course, ag is allowed in the GMU zone, but it's not like, it's a use, it's not like a zone. And it just seemed like there weren't adequate protections for agriculture without its own zone.
Okay, so now we're at agriculture, maybe we should bring it back in.
So I researched northern and southern Utah rural communities, or what used to be, in some cases, a rural community. They all have ag zones.
Huh.
Specific. And as I was reading through their ordinances, I really like it. Some of them, were specific on 6 acres or more. Some were actually smaller. I mean, that would be totally up for discussion.
How is it different from a GMU?
More things can happen in a GMU than in an ag zone. And ag zones focus more on farmland, livestock, the uses that would support agriculture specifically.
So at this point, it would be, if we brought it into a zone use, it would have to be a rezone if someone wanted to create an agricultural zone.
We'd have to discuss that through. As I was reading it, I was thinking of what are our prime farmlands, and that would be where you start.
Right.
So you would have lower Boulder, upper Boulder, and there's a little strip in middle Boulder as well. So. Yeah, as far as the process to zone that, it would have to have public involvement and more discussion.
But what did you look up? What towns did you look up? I'd love to read some of that.
I looked up, so I did Lola, Tropic, Escalante, Kanguich, Springdale, Heber City, Camas.
So then that's where we get back in. So now we're going back in and rezoning, or, as far as just like, I don't know why, but I keep bringing this commercial thing up, basically. People are going to say, well, you're going to change the ag zone. How come you don't want to add to the commercial zone? I'm being a devil's advocate here, though, but, if we were...
Well, I think right now it's the same deal for whichever way you go.
Although in our general plan... We're very specific on agriculture.
That's
very... And we're not on commercial.
Okay, good. Okay, that's a good point, too.
And the other thing that's been brought up time and time again is the 6 acres ag zone.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So there's a couple reasons for it.
Yeah.
So...
I like the definition except for the emus and the ostriches.
And what about the rheas?
I'm not sure I want to live next to a bunch of ostriches.
I think the one thing that I think is lacking in the agriculture definition is language that supports the services that you need for agricultural equipment. So like the workshops that are working on tractors and farm equipment, that's been a topic of conversation. I think it could be clarified in the agriculture definition.
Yeah.
And would allow for that use. I mean, it's been allowed so far because it is conducive to agriculture operations, but it'd be nice to clear that up.
Beyond the agricultural building below?
Yes, because the agricultural building is just storage for equipment.
Yeah, so you want it as
part of livestock. So I would say, the mechanical services needed to support agricultural operations or something along those lines.
In the research you looked at, is there a minimum acreage for ag zones?
Yeah, and it was, like I said, kind of across the board, and I think, you know, time changes that. These areas that used to be rural, that are no longer so rural, their acreage seems to have been less.
Yeah.
But the ones that would be more conducive to our area were around 6 acres. Okay. And I think Escalante's was 6 acres, but we'd have to double look on it, double check that one. So anyway, I like the idea. I'm glad Ted brought it up and looking into it. It supports our general plan.
Yeah, it does.
So.
In the ag zone.
In the ag zone. So where do we want to, so where do we want to put that? I mean, are we happy right now with the agriculture that we have in the table of uses, or is it something that we need to note and, you know, use this right now and look at agriculture zoning? Is that like a step B out of this?
Well, that's why I did add a column ag as I was going through to see where it would fall. And there's some differences where things may not be allowed in other zones would be allowed in ag and vice versa.
So did you add things into the agricultural zone?
I just pulled them over, right, as to see. I mean, it's very similar to GMU.
Yeah.
I think if we had a zone, the language would be more to make sure that we're conserving prime farmland. It's going to be, you know.
Right.
I mean, we can discuss it further, and
yeah.
This is going to be a, I don't think this is going to be a process that we decide in a couple meetings.
Right. Well, and that's why I think we kind of go back to and decide whether, how far, if we do want to have, I mean, we don't have to have a bunch of meetings, even a few, with, and maybe those would be public hearings, I don't know. Okay, so then agricultural buildings, we kind of just looked at that one, right?
Yeah.
So automotive care. Same thing. It's either got to go in on a commercial property that's already here, or it has to be created for that specific.
Yep.
So the automotive care at this point, I think that it should have, and I know we discussed it maybe at the July meeting, but I think it should have a conditional use in the GMU. Right now it's only in commercial.
And I would disagree. Looking at the definition, I think it's a commercial activity. I think it would be. However, I have a note that says conditional for ag equipment with a question mark, where I would support it in a GMU if it was specific to supporting agriculture operations and not as a mechanic shop where, you know, people from out of town or
yeah.
passing by have breakdowns, having that type of use in a GMU, because that's bringing it. GMU is residential and ag right now, and I don't see that as appropriate in that zone.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay, so let's just, because we're going to take some of this. Okay, so bed and breakfast.
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is kind of how I record all this stuff, or how I note it. And as Matt said, you have been talking about this for the past few months, and you kind of you go through a list and you kind of have comments about. So there's a bunch of comments about all these different definitions, but there's not really, like, this is what we're going
to
do.
I'm not ready to do that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to get even. I mean, I feel like we're okay. Like, really trying to.
That's fine. I just thought it might be more helpful instead of the. Kind of, I'm just taking it as we speak right now, but maybe it'd be more helpful if in my minutes I actually like have a column of
well, that's what these are.
And your usages.
So that's kind of what I was wondering too. So here it just gives us home occupation, light manufacturing, commercial sales and services. Now if you want to, for me personally, if you want to give me these subjects right here, I'd be prepared to put in some definitions, you know, once we talk about it. But as we're going through this list, like, do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you. I think that
so
we've had to do our homework, and so that what we've discussed up to that point is just you know, building up to an end result, I don't think we're ready.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's a better way I can capture all the comments so that you, I mean, you're repeating a lot of stuff you've already said. So.
You're right.
So would that be helpful to make a table of comments for each one of these items so you can see in one place rather than have to go back through previous minutes what you already said about things?
Yes, so that would be helpful.
Okay.
Do you want to take that on or do you want one of us?
I will take it on. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay. All right, so Ben, we're at bed and breakfast, right?
I have a lot on that one.
No. So this is my take. Back when we put this in the table of uses, and when most communities put this in the table of uses, we didn't have the term residential short-term rentals.
No, we didn't.
And I think that it was, we overlooked that when we did our residential short-term rentals. I think we should have addressed bed and breakfast at that time, and it should have been absorbed into that ordinance. And in my opinion, let me look at the definition that I brought in.
Yeah, residential transient lodging accommodations where meals may be provided, and should be more that it should be required. If it's going to be a bed and breakfast.
Well, again, we didn't have a term back then for these short-term rentals. And when you look across the board of all the places that I looked at their definitions, they don't necessarily require food, but they do, some of them do say if they serve food, it has to be family style and not ordered and paid for off of a menu.
Yeah.
So that separates it from a restaurant. That stood out to me.
Yeah.
But my general thoughts on that is there's no limit on the number right now, which is,
yep,
it contradicts our RSTR ordinance.
And they can be in any zone.
And they can be in any zone. There's no reference to show how many were already in that zone, RSTRs, right?
Yeah.
So I think that any future B&B applications should be processed through the RSTR CUP, should be considered an RSTR, and be in compliance with that ordinance.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, this would be a separate thing where we would have to, I don't know, would have to ask Curtis, do we need to amend the, and it may not be necessary if we had to amend that ordinance, or in the definition here, do we say that a bed and breakfast falls under a residential short-term rental and therefore has to follow that ordinance? I think that would be the easiest way to deal with it, but we'll have to run it by Curtis.
See, I looked at that too. Like, how did that pass when it's not in the commercial, I mean, it's... Wasn't actually. I guess it's because it was accepted in all zones. Yeah.
It wasn't, again, something that wasn't, the market wasn't in high demand of it.
Yeah.
It had very little influence on the neighborhood that it was in. And we only have one. So, yeah. But it definitely falls onto the same thing that we're doing with the short-term rentals.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Any comments?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. I know some
of the... CM is something separate, but I have to see what...
I do too, because bed and breakfast used to be, I mean, it's, you know, bed and breakfast. But...
Yeah, you gotta
change your thinking, because that's not, I mean, that's what RSTRs are.
And I think if you are operating as a bed and breakfast, the licensing and everything, that is so separate and different, and there's all these regulations that you have to do that don't fall under the short-term rental one. So I would want to think on that one and do a bit more research on it before saying that I think it should be absorbed by the other.
The other option then would be to look at it harder and have an ordinance specific to that that would...
They actually have like an association, and like you have to follow their rules. And I don't know where I got it, but I do have the page on that Bed and Breakfast Association.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, number of nights.
Yeah.
And maximum amount of rooms. We have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So campgrounds. This is very vague.
Barrow pit is in there.
Oh, okay.
I don't have page 33. You're right.
I have two comments on campgrounds. One is, it suggests there's a minimum campsites, but not a maximum. think we definitely need to throw that in.
Yep.
And I definitely do not like the idea. I think they should be commercial.
I agree.
And not in any of the other zones.
Yeah, that is in my comments as well.
I don't think so either. I don't know. And I think that there should be...
You don't think what, though?
I don't think that they should just be anywhere. I think they should be in commercial, in a commercial zone. Yeah, I really, I'm not so... I don't think that we should have campgrounds in town, in residential areas. Campgrounds, yeah. I mean, for Boulder, as far as that goes. And, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, those are my two recommendations. It would be changed only to a commercial zone, and that there'd be, and I don't know what the limit is, there'd be a maximum limit of how many campsites.
Yeah. Two, but and then, or a number.
Two to six, or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. And as far as that goes, too, doesn't talk about anything as far as having restrooms, parking or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems kind of vague.
Right, are they hooked up? So
yeah, I mean, can you just have somebody, yeah.
Primitive campsites. Or...
I think there just needs to be a better definition, because anybody could have
Well, we do have an RV and campground park, and it does have language and an ordinance.
So does that fall into that? Because I was looking at that too today.
I think so. I think about in the past why there would have been some campgrounds on these other low-density GMU properties.
Uh-huh.
And there probably were sites that family would come and camp, and that might be where it is appropriate and should be better defined.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about, because there's nowhere in it that it says that the campground is used for commercial, right?
Right.
And so if you look at Steve and Cheryl's property on the highway, they have a couple that they're using as camp, but it's only for when their family comes to stay.
Yeah.
And so that is different. It's not a commercial use, right. But it is set up as hookup campground.
Right. So maybe it should say campsite more than a campground. I don't know. We should need to be clear.
This is one that needs to be, definitely language just needs to be changed on it and added to. And
so that was what I thought of taking it out of making it only as a commercial use. And I don't know how theirs was done. Peter, do you know?
Well, are there still references to just campground in the ordinances? Maybe a leftover thing that isn't even referred to anymore, because we added that RV park, campground park thing a while ago. I don't know if the whole thing got updated into that, or if there's even a reference to.
So does that mean we could take it out?
Well, you have a campground up by Hills and Hollis.
Right. But that's commercial, and that's commercial.
Yeah, but you still need the use.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Is that... Okay.
Is it a definition or is it in the table of uses? RV and campground parks is in the table of uses, okay. Allowed in GMU and commercial.
Is it one thing?
Yes. Oh. And then campground is separate, which you're right. It may be left over. And the only reason...
If there's no reference to it, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
It is in the use in the beginning as campground, and then later it's RV and campground parks.
So that's
something we should look into and see, is it just left over or...
So it could be taken out.
Depending on if it's referenced elsewhere in ordinances.
Okay.
Do we have anything that would disallow campsites on people's property that may have a hookup and, like, Steve House? I don't think we do. I mean, I'm asking what Blake's
trying to do as well. You know, that was what I was thinking of, is those are non-commercial uses for people that are wanting to do.
But they would have to have the temporary permit, the 15-day permit you could have in a year.
Commercial, I mean, conditional.
Right.
So when your family comes with an RV to stay for a week, you have to get a permit?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm.
Does anyone do that?
I don't know anybody that has family that comes and stays for a week either. Do you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know lots of people have family come and spends a week at camps.
And
on
you're
their
right.
Property.
Steve's. And you get a.
I mean, not even okay. like a hookup like that, but just comes and stays in camps
yeah.
for a weekend or a week.
And they should get a permit.
So they have to be self-contained, or they have to be hooked up to a septic?
Right.
Okay. So we have that in our ordinances.
Okay, cemetery. Looked. Oh, this is interesting. A place designated for the burial or keeping of the remains of the dead, whether a human or animal. I'm not so sure we need animals in there.
I would agree.
And animals in the cemetery.
Okay.
Did we take that out?
Other definitions that I looked at do not have it defined this way. And they are more specific that you have to follow state law.
What?
I'm just making sound effects here for the tape. May I say something about?
Yeah.
Gladys is the expert on cemeteries, as you know.
Yeah.
And like natural burials, such as we recently had, would not be allowed in a state, you know. And that's one reason why Boulder does not have a cemetery district. Is you're in the state system at that point, and you have to make reports to the state. You get some funding, maybe not enough to compensate for all the reporting you have to do. But it was kind of a decision on the part of the town over the years to stay as they are, as long as they're allowed to be that way.
So I was under the understanding that natural burials were not allowed here.
They are allowed.
Gladys did a big meeting and did a community meeting a few years ago and made a big, and it was discussed.
Yeah, my understanding on that is that if it's a pioneer cemetery, which Boulder apparently is, then you're open to do a pioneer burial.
So in the cemetery it's allowed, but it wasn't allowed in a different zone or a different area, right? I mean, I'm curious now.
Oh, interesting. I see what you're saying.
If it's a historical kind of pioneer cemetery, then you could do a pioneer type burial. But if it's somehow a new, it doesn't qualify as pioneer cemetery or whatever, I don't know what that.
Well, somebody wanted to be naturally buried on their own land.
That's what I'd be in though, right?
Probably, because,
I was going to say, I don't...
Yeah. According to Gladys, it depends. In Garfield County, it depends on where exactly it is.
Yeah. So.
And I think she also suggests that you get a lot of your paperwork and things done ahead of time so that it's already done, so that when you pass away, you can do that. I think that's her recommendation, too, if I'm not mistaken. So you don't you follow through on it before anything happens so that you have that permission.
And I suppose if anyone really wanted specific information, it was Sue that took care of all the paperwork for Gary Powell.
Yep.
So she went through the whole bureaucratic process of getting that done legally.
Yeah. Okay.
So that said, what is it? Is it conditional use in all zones then?
I think it should be conditional in all zones.
Cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's in GMU, low density and commercial. So I don't know. I mean, the medium density, high density, it probably would be very difficult to get that approved. Right. From what I just
heard.
Right.
So maybe we should just leave it the way it is.
I'm good with leaving that one.
Did you want to take out animals?
Don't know where that came from.
Yeah, me either. I just...
It might be worth researching and revisit that. I mean...
I don't think anybody would miss it.
Yeah. It's an agriculture area, so I mean, I think there's a lot of non-compliance on that one. So, support, you know.
There must be a story there.
Yeah.
Churches. I think it's interesting that you can have a church anywhere, you know? Like, I just find that interesting.
I guess that comes into what's the definition of a church.
True.
So, let's look.
But I mean, you think that in some of the other rural towns around us, there's churches inside of people's homes and stuff like that. It's
sure.
a small congregation.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's not a dominant church in this area.
That's a good point.
So I support that it's in all zones. Just
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Religious.
Yeah, they are.
We had a conditional use permit anyway.
Yeah.
In all zones, it's not just permitted.
Right.
And it's not necessarily a huge building being proposed. I mean, I suppose it could be.
Commercial sales and services is only commercial. And is everybody okay with the definition?
Yes.
Yep.
Hey, this is where I have the concrete plan associated with an existing gravel pit. Is that what you guys are on?
Skip community market. My, right now, I think it's just in commercial, right? Community market,
yeah.
Which I support.
I have old ones. I need to get my new ones. I need to get new ones. You know that packet that I got, that, this all this new stuff? This is none of this. This is from my old packet. I don't have any of the new.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get that.
That's what you were saying. You were going to, I'll just wait for new stuff. Okay, so what do you have?
It's community market. It's permitted in
okay.
commercial, which I think is good, as is. That was a 2015 ordinance.
Exactly. And what it's just commercial?
Permitted in commercial. Because we'll get to it, farm stands.
That's what
are a different category, and back to the agriculture zone.
And that's
in
permitted
most
anywhere.
Definitions, farm stands in ag zones, there was one per property was allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I don't have that one either. So, Matt, cool. Maybe you should, because I have. So after cemetery, church, commercial, I have concrete. So what do you guys have?
You know, I just want to read it through Josie.
Yeah, it's community market added by ordinance number 15 to pass 5715 permitted in commercial.
Okay. And then what's your next one?
And next one is the concrete plant associated with an existing gravel pit.
And that's the result of the old Lyman Robeson Ranch.
Yeah.
Off, right?
It is.
And then
so that's why it's in GMU.
Right.
Because it was a specific need when this one was created. I don't have a problem with it. I would say if we do an agricultural zone, I would say it would be conditional there too.
Yeah.
And then we have to think about the cost of bringing in concrete, and that's why the ranch in Lower Boulder put one on site.
Right.
They're all the buildings and construction they did were concrete buildings.
Yeah.
But basically, we have it in use for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody's okay with, we're okay with that?
Yeah.
And so the next one, that daycare preschool center?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, online it doesn't show that there's nothing here.
It's conditional and commercial.
Commercial only.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, if you look at the definition, this is more specific to like a commercial daycare center.
Yeah.
Not home child care.
Non-residential.
Yeah.
And the day treatment facility program, I mean, are these in here because they're mandatory?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I think I remembered those meetings. Okay, and then I have existing gravel pit.
The day treatment facility is not in any zoning.
Yeah, that's what I have too.
So I think that implies that it's not allowed.
I think so. I mean,
but we had to have it in here so that it was in the definitions.
I think that's what they're asking.
Yeah.
And that there arose any, it would swiftly be
right.
It's like yeah, if need be. But yeah.
Okay. And then group child care.
There's farm stand. It was added by ordinance 15-2.
Okay.
It's conditional in all zones except for in commercial. It's permitted. And I think if we had an ag zone, that would be a permitted use in an ag zone. That would be one of the differences.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, group childcare?
Yeah. That's conditional in all zones.
In all zones.
I'm fine with that.
Some weird numbers.
I know.
That's what I thought too.
17.
I know. That's a lot. That's a lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids.
Yeah, does, I mean, can we change that? Is there a, at least twice a week for more, for by at least twice a week for more than three children? So, I mean, it is a
group. I wonder if some of it is a group. Some state, because there's really specific state regulations on that type of stuff, so I wonder if it's just taken from that, because they are so specific.
Yeah.
But if we did decide to make any changes, I would say you want to make sure it's really in line with any state.
Right. But does it also go with our, you know, 17 kids next door in a residential neighborhood,
yeah,
2 days a week is,
yeah,
probably in the high density zones probably not going to work so well for some,
yeah,
people.
And I don't know, too, how it would go in. Like, I know Penguich and Tropic just redid this same thing because of the competition between preschools offered within the county that were competing against this.
Mm.
And so I know they all had to relook at theirs, and it went through the school board, too, of how the school board is having to deal with group child care.
Well, can we just make a note to look to...
Yeah.
To figure out what those numbers are, how they're applicable to Boulder.
And then I'm going to suggest that we stop this too.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Right.
There used to be larger families.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the next one is guest ranch, and could we leave this at the last for tonight since it's almost 8?
Sure.
Definition for this time. I mean, we got a little ways to it.
So are we going to discuss guest ranch or no?
Well, I liked this definition that Matt had, actually.
I started with working ranch. Has to be a working ranch.
Yeah.
I think it has to have a minimum acreage, but I don't know what that is.
I found,
yeah,
quite a bit on,
yeah,
that, and 35 acres was very common.
Okay.
There was a limitation on guest rooms.
Yes, that would be the other.
So unless you went up to 140 acres, and then it would start to allow a little bit more occupancy after that, so that's a thought.
So how much do you think a 35-acre guest ranch could house?
I'll read you this one.
Yeah.
Where's
so guest ranch means a working ranch on a parcel containing at least 35 acres with an accessory structure for the lodging or boarding of guests while they indulge in recreational activities on or adjacent to the ranch. A guest ranch shall have no more than 10 guest rooms plus one guest room for 35 acres of land in excess of the first 140 acres on the parcel, up to a maximum of 20 guest rooms. So that's pretty darn big, and I don't think we have
anything.
Where
is this from?
I would have to relook at it. This might have been, I pulled up a few, and I didn't put the, on these particular ones, I didn't put the location. Occupancy shall not exceed 30 days. And then livestock, let's see. The food that was provided on the guest ranch has to be specifically for the guests, so someone not staying there couldn't just drop in.
Yep.
Livestock included cattle, sheep, horses, and in this case, bison.
Emus and ostriches.
No, no emus or ostriches. And I'm just scanning down, because now I've just pulled in some other stuff that's pretty much similar to this one. That's where I said that 35 acre was pretty common. 160 to 140 acre was like the next tier. I think that's about it. But I think that the 140, 160 is a little large now for within our city limits. It used to be the case, but not so much anymore. So that 35 might fit.
Right.
Yeah. Unless they wanted to go smaller. But I tend to think, personally, no, that for a guest ranch, that we should keep it at a larger acreage.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned a little bit with the amount of, I mean, I guess sometimes, you know, guest ranches would have a family and arrive, so I can see 10 people, but when you start getting up to 20, that's a lot on a 35-acre piece.
Yeah, yeah. Great. But when we were talking about, and I don't want to get too much into the resort thing, but when we were talking about the difference, when you start to look at the definition of a resort, huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a resort does not fit here.
Right.
And a guest ranch does. So right. I support leaving guest ranch and just clarifying that definition when we get to resort in our next meeting.
We'll cross it off.
We'll discuss that, but it's very different.
I agree with that. I think, yeah, that's the fit for vision.
Well, I'm going to make a funny comment, too. I think it'd be interesting. You could take that 6-acre parcel down there, take it up to Upper Boulder, and it would fit within those parameters as far as the land that that family owns and whatever. It's finding it interesting that it's on somebody else's ranch. I've been thinking about that just a little bit recently. You know, it's just that it's not on their property. You know, it's interesting how that piece sits in there.
And that was another clarification in some of these, that it has to be on your property, your working ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, it's all around it, too, you know, but,
the intention behind it is not so someone can come in and develop a business of a guest ranch, just to give someone an opportunity who's already ranching to make that straight.
To support that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's a motel.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a hotel.
Right.
Whatever the position was.
Yeah. Okay.
And, yes. Anyways, I won't say
more. So you want to start, you want to keep working on that one a little bit?
Yeah, I think it still needs some work, but that's good. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and...
Stopping at guest ranch.
Yeah. And, Josie, thanks for looking those up. Oh, I'd like to look at some of those, too. I don't always know where to go, but... Okay, so we're going to close what we were doing, and we're going to open up for final public comments, if anybody has any comments on what we've been talking about. Thank you, Peter.
So on this whole discussion about the table uses and definitions and public involvement, I think you're on the right track, just basically doing more announcements and just having maybe doing a little bit more than is required for a public meeting to kind of get the word out. But also to have pretty specific proposals to say, this is what we're, this is our idea. And if you have an opinion on those things, come and talk about it.
Right.
So it's easier when you have something you can say, I like this. I like it, but I need to have something a little bit. And that's it. Rezoning in the ag zone. Ag zone, it seems like a good idea, but it's gonna take a long time, I think. It's also having public involvement and kind of it's the Z word. Get into the Z word and we'll get hot. And I like what you're saying about commercial zones. Just don't worry about it. And if somebody really wants to do something commercial, they can apply and see. Then you have to look at the general plan and see how it fits in the general plan.
Exactly.
If you draw lines and make a zone, then they will come. I'm being kind of Mark Nelson here.
He'll be proud.
Well, that's it.
Thank you, Peter.
That was great, yeah. Well, I feel like when we did those RSTRs, it's just like, we just, like, I still have a hard time, like, that, those are commercials, commercial to me. And I don't know how, in my own mind, I just can't separate it out. So it gets confusing, muddled.
No one's applying for them.
But they're certainly around. People are making money off of them. So, okay, so we don't have any more public comments. Oh, thank Tessa.
I have a question.
Just state your name.
Maybe this is obvious or exists somewhere, but I'm just wondering if there's a document that has, like right now on the website, it's like the ordinance, which is unupdated, and then it's like all the ordinances that change the ordinance. Or, I'm just wondering if there's a document that has all the table of uses and definitions in one place.
No. The latest RSTR does.
And it has the use.
At the very end, after you have the signatures of the town council, which at this point is still blank, they've attached the table of uses where they put the updates and the definitions. Okay. So.
Oh, wow.
And then.
The whole table of uses? Or?
Yeah. Oh. The whole table of uses. And then Curtis has been discussing a contractor that's going to possibly take all of our information, bring it up to date, get it on the web so that everything's.
Oh, and that's the
approved.
The codified one?
Yeah. And it was approved by the town council.
Great. And that said, a lot of the sites I went to have that system, and it's so nice online.
Yes, and it'll stay updated. Yeah. I mean, it'll get updated and stay updated. Do you know how long it will take to get that?
I don't know what the timetable is on that. Should take that.
Yeah. That would be so huge, because I feel like I'm always missing something or even with the puckering the year thing.
Yeah, we all have 200 pieces of paper in front of us, except for Josie.
I know.
But tonight I had everything on my computer.
I did not know that was reattached at the end of the RSTR ordinance.
Yeah, when I was reading that, I was like, okay, I don't have to go back to the 2015 one anymore.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know, Okay, so for upcoming business for October 10th meeting, as far as I can see right now, it's just a continued discussion on the zoning ordinance table of uses.
We likely have a conditional use permit. Alexa, Alexandra, Fuller. Yes. I think they are putting together their conditional use packet for a restor.
For a what?
RSTR.
Oh. Okay.
So that'll
probably be our first one, basically, as far as somebody.
As far as I know, yeah.
Hmm.
It'll probably be. I mean, I know that they were working on pulling stuff together, so they didn't have it for this meeting, obviously, but I bet for next meeting they will.
And so they're residents here now?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess we'll
see it when we see it, but
yeah.
She just called and asked about.
Is there a CUP application for it?
Well, that was the last time I worked with Curtis. And in fact, I think where it stands right now is we really do need two separate kind of, a lot of the current conditional use permit application is kind of not applicable, and other parts need to be there, so we kind of need two separate ones, one for regular stuff and one for RSTRs. So that doesn't exist yet, so I'm kind of not sure if Curtis, he gets back on the 20th, I think.
When do they have it into you in order to?
10 days before our next meeting. So it gives him a little window if he gets back and can pull something together or. Not sure where that stands right now. But anyway, they are working on the conditional use.
Okay.
In Lower Boulder, so.
Okay. So unless we hear of anything else, we'll just leave it on the, just leave it as a continued discussion and then maybe the CUP for October.
I still think
people are going to be busy. I mean, there's just a lot going on right now, so. Okay, so I make a motion that we end the meeting, the Planning Commission meeting.
Please second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks, Colleen.
Yeah, thank you.